What's up, everybody? It's episode 113 of Valuetown. I'm Champion V, and joined by Noxious and our guest Firebat today. What's up, fellas?
Not much, man. Just the usual life.
The usual life.
Waiting for Valuetown every week.
Waiting for Valuetown every week. Yes. That's like everybody else watching right now.
Precisely.
Firebat, how about you, man?
Doing good. Yeah. Chilling. Got electricity back finally.
What? You didn't have electricity for a while?
8 days, no
electricity. Holy crap, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was a bummer. So I had to throw out my food and like clean a bunch of stuff. My whole house smelled like garbage because I don't know if you've ever had no electricity for a while, but your food gets gross.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So but I'm back now. So that's fantastic. I love the internet, being connected. It's a good time.
I can't even imagine that because we live in Florida, right? And I always have this like nightmare scenario just with the hurricanes and like if the hurricanes hit hard, I mean, you lose power for like 2 weeks or something like that. So I'm just like wishing and hoping that'll never happen, which it hasn't happened since I've moved down here. I can't imagine. That'd be horrible. Oh God.
Yeah. I'm going to get a generator.
Yeah. That's what usually happens.
For the price, it's worth like not having the hassle hit you really. So
yeah.
Especially in Michigan. Cause it gets cold in the winter. So like your pipes freeze if you don't have heat going.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a bummer.
Totally. Well, I guess you could have always used your phone and played Hearthstone during this whole time.
Well, I did sometimes.
Sometimes. All right.
Yeah. You can stream from mobile, right?
You probably can, honestly, if you figure it out enough, right? You workshop it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I don't think you can. Quite a lot of like resources drain on your device, right? Like,
oh, that's
you
true.
You can do it technically, but how long for? And is the quality worth it?
Dude, I can't even play Hearthstone.
They got some crazy new phones coming out like every day. And maybe you like, you know, hacksaw like a couple of them together, like some super phone.
Maybe. I mean, the biggest thing about the, doing that is just, it's the batteries. Like all these awesome phones come out, but the batteries are still the freaking same.
Well, plug it into the wall.
You don't have electricity. That's the whole point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Plug it into the wall. Just use your damn computer at that point, right? So it's just, yeah. So it'd be, if somebody could do that and take a picture of that, I would, you know, just jimmy together some crazy mobile streaming setup. That'd be pretty awesome to see. Number one on Reddit, I bet.
That's hire this guy. Plug it into the wall. Hacksaw a few to get, like, phones together. Samsung. Get him
exactly.
The Pokemon Go streaming setup.
That's for a while. That's what it was, right? I did that once. I did that one. Never again.
It's
after
not cool
that.
To do it anymore.
Yeah. I know. Like, it totally
for
isn't.
A period, you didn't get made fun of for a while when you were doing it. It was just like the hip thing to do was just going around catching Pokemon. Yeah. And now it's like you see a guy run out to try and catch Pokemon in the middle of the street and just turn away. Pretend you don't know him and walk the other direction. It's become a lot less hip.
No.
More importantly, I think you ask yourself why he's not just paying $10 to get all the Pokemon in the world to a sketchy website who gets them through GPS hacking.
Is that what happens? I didn't even know.
That's
kind
what
of
they do now. They actually
have
bots that roam virtual space capturing Pokemon. And they resell accounts on the marketplace.
The point of catching the Pokemon is the journey.
Exactly. That's
the journey is my, like, how does the song go? I don't know.
The journey is not half the battle, but is the
Wait,
point.
Dude, you're so far off the mark right there.
I'm totally bad. Yeah.
There's no
I'm
way
totally
that's...
Like, I'm totally
the
off.
Wants to be the very best. The purpose is my cause. Or to train them is my cause.
To train them is my cause.
Okay, right.
But what's the... There's something before that. I don't know.
I want to be the very best. That's all I know.
Yeah, same here. Like, I only know the one line. It's really connected with me over the years. But other than that, I don't know what's going on. I know for sure 100% though. There's nowhere in the lyrics where it says GPS hacking $10 catches them all. Like, that's not
that's not a thing.
That's not a thing. That's not what Ash Ketchum would want.
I didn't know there was GPS hacking. So there's I know there are these little things that people sell that, like, if you just walk around, it just automatically catches them for you. Like, you don't actually have to do that.
That still requires walking. They're literally using, they're spoofing location. And just,
it's an exercise app. Why are you cheating on an exercise app?
Totally.
What is
it's like the new Fitbit, dude.
The non-sketchy thing is when you look at someone's phone who has that stuff, it's like Snorlax caught in Hong Kong. The guy lives in like New York City. You're like, so you went to Hong Kong to catch this guy? And then the next Pokemon next door is like, whatever the name of that Pokemon is, caught in Australia. When'd you go there, bro? Like, you got this game last week.
I was there yesterday, dude.
I totally crossed the entire planet.
All right, well, this ain't a Pokemon Go show, so how do we get back to Hearthstone? Well, I promise we do have a lot of Hearthstone to talk about today. Just going to touch on some Ungrow news, Heroic Brawl, PAX East, Onoth, some news in the community and just generally in Hearthstone, and then maybe take a question from the folks that emailed the question to us this week. But I'm going to start out with the Journey to Ungrow news. There's been a couple posts this week, one most recently today, that talked about the live stream that's going to be happening this Friday, which they said March 17th, you know, like a couple weeks ago when they made the first video. So to their word, they're going to be having a live stream with Day 9 and senior designer Peter Whalen at 11 a.m. Pacific. And I'm assuming they're going to show a bunch of cards, I hope. I mean, this is actually the better. This is definitely better than I expected. I expected just like one site to reveal one card or something on March 17th. So this hopefully will be, you know, a good 10 or 20 cards. I'm hoping. What do you guys think it's going to be?
I don't know. It really depends on what, because they've been experimenting a lot with the reveal patterns in the past. So I don't know exactly what they've settled on, but there's probably going to be like a few cards here. Again, they're going to showcase some custom decks with, you know, show matches and then reveal the final cards. I expect about a dozen cards from this this reveal on Friday, and then it's going back to trickling, you know, a card here and there, premium reveals for content websites. I will, however, say one thing: I love Day 9, so that's a good that's a good.
Sean, awesome.
Yeah, it should be a fun stream, but yeah, it's kind of probably just going to be what it's been in the past. They usually have
play games and stuff like that.
They've had like a bunch of content producers, like, you know, similar people to Day 9 before, out to some location, and then they play with a game designer and they showcase some amount of new cards in some practice decks or example decks that are usually, you know, kind of wonky, and they play together, and then they show off, you know, 12 cards or whatever, and then they give the rest of the cards to be revealed by, you know, streamers and content producers and websites. So then those come a little bit later down the line, and, you know, that's worked for them in the past and probably continue doing it that way.
Sounds like I think you guys are going to be right about that. It's probably going to be something like we saw with Frodan, you know, before him and Brode, you know, doing that
exactly
that kind of like reset decks and playing and revealing some as they go. But I'm hoping, you know, hoping we see a good amount of stuff, because we still probably have like a month to go, right? It's gonna probably a month of drip feeding from here.
So I have a question regarding that. I mean, do you guys feel that there was a bit of a momentum loss on the part of the, you know, the Ungoro hype? Because we had the Ben Brode rap, and then, you know, coming after the Ungoro reveal, and then there was like a lull moment. Do you think that's intentional, that nothing happened in between, or don't you feel like there's something missing? And, you
know, I saw that Reddit thread, so I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I don't know, this seems to be the most promotion they've done for an expansion that I've seen so far. Like, usually they don't start this early with the promotional stuff, and usually there's less promotional stuff. We had like a bunch of random stuff happening, such as the Ben Brode rap that you mentioned, and we just had the Wonders video of Ungaru
thing right here.
So, like, I don't know, I think they're promoting it more even. So yeah, I don't feel that way at all.
I mean, this is like episode one of this Wonders of Ungaru thing, and I mean, this is the first time they've ever done video content that. This is a hired actor, right? This is something we've definitely seen in other stuff before.
He's from Community.
Yeah, right? Exactly. He's actually a Hollywood actor. So they've never done this with any of the other stuff. In fact, like, I think the video stuff that they've done in the past has been minimal. Wow. You know, like,
look at that like to dislike ratio at the bottom there, though.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
They're pretty peeved that there's no new cards, I imagine, right? Like, they should have put, like, they had the weird thing at the end with the 5-mana dragon or whatever, but they should have had
a card reveal at the end.
Yeah, they should have had something.
I know. I think I agree with that. I mean, to be honest, the video's pretty lame. I mean, I just being completely honest. I mean, there's nothing there. Like,
yeah,
it's just
no substance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, he gets all these spines in his face at the end. It's supposed to be kind of funny, but I don't know. I feel like they could have gotten to that funny part like right off the bat instead of like half the video is just him. This is Un'Goro Crater, and we're going on an adventure and all that stuff. So
it's a long term plan, right?
Yeah,
they want to get
know,
you invested in the characters, and then the Blizzard does that in all their games. They have tons of lore. They get you try to get you really invested in the characters. It's kind of what they do. And some people really love it, and then they fall in love with the lore, buy lore books and stuff like that. That's like a real thing people do. So yeah, I get it. It's their storyline thing, and that's how they make their characters last forever and get the following that they get behind their games. So I can appreciate it on that level, but at the same time, I'm not a lore guy, so I don't really care.
I mean, the lore for Hearthstone. I mean,
Fireball's like brutally honest. Not for me. Not
yeah,
for me.
Like I get people love that stuff, and I get they love the storyline. It's just that's not me.
I think we already know that based on Streamer Showdown, the first game segment we did there.
I scored like, 100 points? I might have been negative 100 at that time in the lore section. It's not good.
Oh, man. No, but overall, though, I think, Fireback, I'm more in the bucket Fireback. I think they are promoting it a lot more. They're trying new things, mm-hmm. and overall, it's good. It's just they can't do exactly what other games do. Like, I think adding a card reveal here would have been like just exponentially better, and it would have fit Hearthstone better. That's just like what we do. So
if if the storyline was him adventuring in Un'Goro and every week he discovered a new card, the things that shot him in the face with spines.
Yeah. What if there's a card there? That'd be kind of
a card. Yeah.
Like if that had just been a card shooting him in the face, it's kind of memey instead of like an actual, like realistic looking plant thing, just the literal card shoots him in the face. And then he picks up the card afterwards and adds it to his book of adventuring and discovers things and adds it to his journal as he goes along.
Yeah. See, I mean, we've seen some sick card cosplay at BlizzCon, so they should totally card cosplay.
Yeah, absolutely, right? I would think, I was hoping when I was watching this, I was like, oh, this is interesting, but then I was thinking, why isn't it Elise? Right? Shouldn't it be a girl? Shouldn't it be like a cosplay
Elise? Well, this is the new character they're introducing, right?
Maybe he has a card.
Yeah, he's going to be a card. He's probably going to be the main guy, the storyline thing for an explorer.
Lino Shaxson. Don't you know Lino Shaxson?
Is that his name for real?
No. I don't know. Please. Please. Fireball's freaking out. He's like, no, Shaxson. Not again.
I'm sure the whole point of the video is to introduce you to this character. So the point just flew way over my head because I don't remember his name. Yeah. But he's probably going to be a character throughout the story, and they're going to create lore behind it. And he might have been a character in World of Warcraft. I don't know. Was he?
I think he was.
I don't know what's his name. Was. I don't know the guy. Didn't even watch the trailer. I haven't started it.
They're trying to create their own lore, man. The Hearthstone.
Yeah, I know they're going. What Hearthstone is doing now, and I actually like that. What they've done is they've separated themselves from mm-hmm. what World of Warcraft, has as canon lore. And you can tell even with the original art that they've added to the game, where they request, specific art pieces for dinosaurs. Like the WoW TCG. If you go back to that old, these old art pieces does not use that art. So they're creating new characters, new creatures, mm-hmm. or at least putting faces on names, right?
Yeah,
which
yeah.
wasn't something that happened in WoW. And Hearthstone is, as a result of that, actually incorporating itself in the canon lore of the Warcraft universe. Now you see like the Lord Draxxus card coming up in World of Warcraft. You can loot it, transform into Lord Draxxus. So a lot of things are, being
cross-pollinated
even within
right?
World of Warcraft, which is kind of cool. I kind of like it.
Yeah, so I think this is the first step, or one of the original steps in that process of creating their own lore. And as you can see, people don't really like the fact that it's just storyline, but these sort of things work, and people will begin to care about the characters in the storyline, and then they'll make money off this. So it's just making you emotionally attached to the game that you play, so you love it more. So next-level marketing voodoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it inside.
So they actually had another hint that was actually before the video, and they tweeted this out. The Un'Goro expeditions will have their rewards. And it's basically a picture talking that journey out with five others searching for the legendary Barnabas. So assuming the Barnabas is a legendary card, is it a quest reward? Is this what this is saying? Or do you think it's some other complete element?
Quest reward.
It's just a quest reward, right? Okay.
Pretty sure, at least. I think so.
Is there going to be an adventure with this expansion, or is it just an expansion?
There's going to be an adventure that is going to come out as like content you can consume, but again, you don't have to. Okay. They've said that they want to add an adventure, I think, every single set, but not as required content.
Yeah, sure. So you're not going to get a reward. Like Barnabas won't be the reward for that.
So right.
Maybe this is alluding to that. You know, that's what I was wondering, if this was just the again, a quest reward, or is it is this going to be an adventure mode type of thing?
Yeah, and it might be just an adventure mode reward, because people love rewards for stuff. Like, I can't imagine the adventure mode's going to see too much play without any reward.
I think it might be a card back, frankly.
Card back, sure.
I think I think what would be nice, and I think this idea has been thrown around, but I would love to see alternate art. You know, not voice lines, just Imani Berserker, alternate art with a different pose instead. I mean, same damn character, right?
Noxious, my phone cannot handle alternate art.
The app's
not going to fit on my phone. I can't.
I apologize.
I've already had to buy an SD card. Let's not max that out. Like,
yeah, good point. You're correct. You're 100% correct.
As long as we have, you know, all the different all the different location based media or whatever on our phones, it's going to be pretty tough.
I think maybe for the phone problem, if they wanted to add alternate art, one thing they got to do is they have to take away the distinct Murloc sounds, right? Just lump them all together. Because now, they currently, every Murloc makes its own different. So they have a different file for each of those. If we could lump those all into one Murloc file and just have one unified, it would be a lot smaller on the phone than we could add custom art.
I mean, you could take it a step further and just make it so Beast also do that.
Yeah, it's Beast, but every roar is kind of, well, you have different Beast. Like, you can't have a snake making an elephant sound.
Like, I would like a snake making a Murloc sound. I'm down for that.
Should there be a game mode where you download a client where everything makes Murloc sounds?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Murloc Stone?
More like, can they just send us the Murloc sounds via the server and just stream it that way instead of having us, you know, the build itself?
That's what takes up the most space is the sound files. If you get rid of those, then you can add custom art or whatever.
No way, right? Graphics take more than that.
Sound files are huge.
Sound files are massive. They're OGGs, dude. Like, they're pretty big.
Okay. Yeah, I never really thought of that.
Unless they've compressed it on mobile phones, but I'm pretty sure they're OGGs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
OGGs are huge.
Like,
yeah. All right. Well, why don't we move on from Ungaro and talk a little bit about wait, what was that?
Journeying away.
Yes, at least for a couple days here. Let's talk about Heroic Brawl. That was a big thing this past week. And Firebat, you were one of the first to get 12 wins with the J Druid on day one, I believe. That was exactly a week ago.
Kind of popped on. It had been 2 hours into the Heroic Ball. I didn't realize that it was something that was happening or anything. And I was just kind of chilling and then decided, yeah, I'll make a run for it. And then I built a deck, started playing it. And then I was like, I'll probably turn on my stream. So I kind of started halfway through my first game and then carried myself to 12 wins with Jade Druid.
Yes.
So I figured Pirate Warrior would be super popular. So I tried to hard counter Pirate Warrior. And I think 8 out of my 12 games was against Pirate Warrior. So that worked out pretty well. You know, I just had a meta read. Put a bunch of taunts in my deck, and then my meta read was successful. Now, that doesn't always happen, but at the time, Pirate Warrior was everywhere, so I figured it would happen.
And then what happened after that was J Druid was everywhere right after Firebat finished because he tweeted it, and it was on Reddit and everything. So,
and then Dragon Priest came over.
Yeah, and then Dragon Priest came over. I got 12 with Dragon, so I can't say I didn't partake in that. But yeah, the whole Heroic Brawl, for those of you that were listening, maybe they don't know Heroic Brawl. Heroic Brawl is this special brawl that they've done once in the past where you can buy in for 1,000 gold. And the objective is to get 12 wins, kind of like Arena, but you get these enormous prizes if you can get even just at 10. Once you get to 10, you get a golden card, legendary, plus a bunch of packs in gold. But if you get 12, you get, you know, just the crazy. Three golden legends and 50 packs and 1,000 or roughly 1,000 dust gold.
You should be able to get decent returns if you're a legend player. Like, I don't know, I have no problem getting to the break even point, which is like 7, like, right? Seven,
no,
eight.
It's not even. It's like 5, I think.
Yeah,
I have no problem getting to 7 or 8. So
yeah, 7 or 8, you're doing well. Yeah,
it's pretty easy to break even. So, but Yeah, the reason why they do this, though, they do it right before the expansion to get everyone's gold out of the system, get everyone's gold invested into old packs so nobody has gold to buy the new packs, so then they have to spend money into the game again. It's all a scam, man.
We were talking about that last time with the rat, and the conclusion we pretty much came to was that if they release it after the expansion is just released, people complain that they've already dumped their gold. And if they release it mid-cycle, they say, well, now we don't have gold for other things. So people always you just never have gold, frankly. No matter how you spin it and the time at which you release it, it's always overpriced for the average player. Like, the average result is always going to be skewed.
If they did it after an expansion and people could compete to get the new packs, they would be excited. That'd be awesome.
But the thing is, they don't have any more gold, right, at that point. So they have to literally wait.
Yeah, but you're getting packs,
the gold
though.
That they would spend on new packs getting, on Heroic Tavern Brawl.
Way more efficient, yeah.
So they go into Tavern Brawl without the new cards?
Yeah, exactly.
People are going to get destroyed, dude. Wow. Okay, maybe
if people play the old
deck. If I played Pirate Warrior, right when that thing came out, I'm sure I would do okay. I'm sure I would get at least five wins.
And then it's a cool testing ground, because then people, they do their first run with none of the new cards, then they earn the new cards, then they play a second run with the new cards, and then they're like, I figured out the meta. It's just a cool, it would be way cooler.
That's cool.
Less money.
Yeah, they'd way less money.
They'd make way less money. They make so much more money getting everyone to spend their gold and then have to buy packs with real money afterwards. It's really smart, but I hate it.
But I hate it as a consumer.
Yeah, I want it to be when the expansion drops, so you have this cool Heroic Tavern new metagame where people really want to try to win, but they also want to try new stuff. So then you have this balance of people playing the new cards and people playing the old decks. Because right now, when an expansion drops, everyone plays the new decks. And you have no idea what's good, because every deck you're playing against is garbage. So this would give it an environment where you could actually test the cards efficiently without having to be like, hey, man, you're my teammate. Do you want to play the old decks while I play the new decks, so we can have a reference point of if this is good? And some guy in your practice group stuck being the control group, and he's sitting there throwing things at the wall because he's bored as hell. He must play the new cards. So it incentivizes people to play the old decks to create a better testing environment for people.
That's an interesting way to look at it, because I feel like most people look at it the complete opposite, which is, this is high stakes. So I would never test a deck, in this, spending 1,000 gold.
Well, that's the fun part. If you're able to figure out the best deck first, and you just
get double the rewards, basically,
and over and over and over again before you post to everybody what the new busted deck is. Right, you could sneak in 3 or 4 wins before you post it out on Twitter. Just get 3 or 4 12-win rounds in a row with the new deck, because it rewards deck building in that sense. Because everyone's still playing the old stuff, and you figured it out. You broke the code.
Okay, all right, that's fair. That'd definitely be interesting. I think there would be definitely a couple handfuls of players that would be partaking that way. And I mean, it would be amazing. It would be a pretty cool, kind of experiment.
It's a sandbox.
It's like a high stakes sandbox.
Short-term race to figure out what the best deck is with the new cards.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, it's cool. I think you're overestimating the average deck builder's propensity the average Hearthstone player's deck building interest. I feel like most people are too scared to do anything in this game without being given a deck list.
Let's be real, guys. They're just sitting there waiting on Reddit to see
People have ladder anxiety. They have ladder anxiety, and so they don't even want to queue up until they're confident that the list that they've got already is top tier. So people wouldn't even queue up unless they were some of the top pros, right? That's generally the way I see it. Or for gambling degenerates that already are spending their real money on the game, like on the $9.99 roll. So that's
the environment that they're put in facilitates this behavior, though. If you open it up to where they have this risk reward where they get rewarded for creative deck building instead of punished, they have the opportunity to be rewarded, then they will be more creative. If the environment suits it, the player base is going to fit it. Like, and the way they have it right now, there's no reason not to wait
until the ladder's figured out. Yeah.
Conceptually, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. It's just even what you're talking about right there, Firebat, that's going to last like a couple days. It doesn't even last very long, even with that, and it's unfortunate that way.
At least it's a few days, though.
It's more than an hour. It's more than a couple hours.
I'll take what I can get.
True. But overall, Heroic Brawl, they didn't limit it. This was unlimited. I don't know. I think if it went fairly well again. It didn't feel quite as epic special as last time, but it still felt like a special event, so... know, hopefully they continue doing it. I still think they should have like another option, like, you know, have the very beginning be something where you pick the stakes, you know, and then have different you know, reward systems for that. Because the whole goal is to have basically have it be a gold sink. So why not honestly, have a gold sink for all level, like, you know, any kind of player, right? Why not?
Yeah, just, I think it should scale.
Yeah,
I think no they should change it from a gold sink, though, and just scrap this whole Hearthstone Championship Tour system that we got for Open Cups and just run that through Heroic Tavern Brawl. Because it's essentially a tournament that fixes all the problems with Open Cups. Because the biggest problem with Open Cups is you have to start it at 7 in the morning on a Wednesday or something like that. And then you have to play for 8 hours straight with no breaks. And there's a lot of people that can't do that and just don't have the ability to participate in it. Whereas the Heroic Tavern Brawl, you play a game and then you finish your game and then you go do whatever. You come back, you play another game, and there's no delays. There's no sitting at your computer just being pissed, waiting for the other side of the bracket to catch up. It's just so much smooth, cleaner, and it's in client. If they used that and you could like play Heroic Tavern Brawls, and if you win them, you get like one BlizzCon point or whatever, and you can do that once a week, that would be amazing. That would make the process for qualifying for Worlds be a lot more streamlined and accessible to everybody.
Yeah, I think that would be, and there'd be a lot of good players playing it too. So, I mean, it would be plenty.
It would up the competition levels and whatnot too. And I think that would be insane. I think it's have more constant tournaments available all the time. You don't need to go to these third-party sites to run all these tournaments that are half the time not even in the correct languages. Half the time the admins are screwing up all the time. Blizzard has no control over what's going on whatsoever. So it's just a clown fiesta the whole way through.
I think there might be some validity to the point you bring up as far as what Blizzard is doing with the Heroic Tavern Brawl as a perhaps testing ground for this type of idea. Because what they've got basically implemented here is like a tournament system with the brackets being generated, quote unquote, with an entry fee, right? Like it's kind of the way that it's done at the moment. The thing is, it's not structured enough. Like there's no bracketing. There's no telling you the leaderboards.
Do you need to see a bracket or anything? You don't need to see a bracket.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's what they're doing is they're actually streamlining it to the point. Because one of the big hurdles that they've had to, you know, they've been mulling over for a while now, from my understanding, is how do we make these tournaments not feel like they're against the spirit of Hearthstone, which is easily accessible, jump in, play, compete.
Yep.
The way Heroic Tavern Brawl is structured is actually perfect for that.
It's nuts, dude. I think it's so good. If they just made that replace open tournaments, I'd be so happy. And that doesn't even take a lot of work, I imagine. They already have it built.
They still have to add it to the interface. And I mean, right now they're just piggybacking on the Tavern Brawl.
If they add it to as another independent button and call it open tournaments, I think that'd be perfect. I think that'd be the best way to qualify for BlizzCon.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. It's very Hearthstone-like, like you guys said. It feels like that's how the behavior is in Hearthstone generally, and it would match it really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. I think that's it for Tavern Brawl. Why don't we move on to some competitive, or just a tournament, an event. PAX East just happened this past weekend over in Boston, and there was a Hearthstone event that was there that actually had a good number of top players there, Europeans and mostly North Americans, of course. But you know, lots of good players, lots of notable players, and Firebat, you casted it with Frodan, of course. Overall, you know, I found whenever I was able to watch it, I found it really entertaining. I mean, there were a few storylines, but before I guess talking about some of those, Ray C ended up winning it, so congratulations to him. Ended up taking it over Muzzy, and man, Muzzy's so close, man. Muzzy's always so close. This one, he was really, really close. A couple opportunities, too. I was just like, oh, no, dude. He might have been able to swing it. Might have had a different outcome, actually. But Racy ended up taking it. But, you know, there were definitely some funny storylines going on. Toast, I think, Disguised Toast being one of them. Having him be in the tournament and actually having some success against some of the notable players, too, with, you know, what seemed to be meme decks, but decks that actually had attributes that were good against the current meta, at least the events meta. So ended up working out even with the little meme elements to them. But overall, what did you think of the tournament?
I mean, it was fun to cast. It was really long. I casted like 10 hours a day, 3 days. So it was brutal. By the end of it, you're so exhausted and it's so hard to, you know, formulate thoughts that make any sense. But yeah, it was really fun. Hearthstone tournament. I mean, there wasn't too many things that were like standout and exciting. One of the things I guess that was the most standout was Priest. Top tier class after that, I'd say. Yeah. I mean, all of the players in the top four, I'm pretty sure, except Racy, had Priest.
Which is so funny because Dragon Priest has been here like for a long time now, you know, and it's just funny how it's risen like in the last few weeks to be just crazy top tier. Like I said, like there are a lot of people that got 12 wins even on Tavern Brawl, right? With with Dragon Priest
is good. It was just crushing it left and right.
It just sucked against Shaman at the time. Now that Shaman's subsided, it's crazy that it's just like so good.
Spirit Claws was just, I guess, holding it back.
Yeah, that's
three damage is perfect from all my good minions, man.
I would have never thought that removing Spirit Claws would have had such an impact on that matchup, but apparently it does. And Priest just destroys mid-range Shaman. Like, it's not even close. It is insane how much Priest just bullies the mid-range Jade Shamans.
Yeah, and the Jade Druid, too. So it does super well against a lot of the strong decks.
Oh, man, what are we going to do without them after the rotation? We need a replacement for Dragon Priest, because this thing is gone, right? I don't want another Dragon Priest. I'd like something more interesting, perhaps, but...
That's going to be sad.
The deck keeps in check. It's like, it's got the perfect... like tempo turns to count, and like the high health minions, it's got all the elements to counter the Jade Shenanigans. And well, I mean,
Dragon Priest is probably the most boring deck in all of Hearthstone.
It is, it
by
is
far,
boring.
But
the curbstone is like, best.
I am so glad that it is going away because holy crap, I'm glad it reached tier one now. Like, now people are all like, everyone's got to play Dragon Priest. I'm like, really? Do I have to?
It's
like,
almost gone, at least.
It's going to be gone next week. Thank God. We don't even have to learn this.
Well, it was mission accomplished. Mission accomplished for Blizzard, right? Mission accomplished for Blizzard because they created Dragon at Operative, trying to make Dragon Priest something good for like 3 or 4 months, and that's it. Like, they they knew that, making a card that's crazy powerful like that. So finally, it actually reaches there after, however many months, 2 or 3 months that it's come out, it's reached there. But you're right, it's Curvestone at its best. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just all-in Curvestone, too. Like, when you play it, it's pretty straightforward.
Then another thing that was cool at the tournament, we got to see Sacrificial Pact get used.
So Shanman and I were talking about this a few weeks back. Like, hey, when are we going to see people start teching a control Reno lock, like with more top end and a sack pact in it for the mirror match? And we were talking, well, the existing decks really punish that. It doesn't work unless nerfs happen and blah, blah, blah. And then lo and behold, Toast decides to meme.
Yeah,
and it was brilliant.
He even baited it too.
Well, he has all
he had initiative plays that he could have done, but he had Sack Pact in his hand, and he knew it was likely for his opponent to have Draxxus. So he took a weak play that allowed Sho to play Draxxus, and then Sho played Draxxus and got Sack Pact. So he baited him with it too. It's pretty sick.
But what's awesome is like Toast's Reno Lock also has things like Doom, and I think it had Medivh in it too. It's stuff like I played when Karazhan first came out. So it's so funny.
It was so bad back then, though. It was so bad because the tempo, like the amount of damage you take from a one mana weapon, like just to put it out there, is like you're long dead by the time you've stabilized, and Doom doesn't help you. Whereas now it's just that extra wipe that that really helps.
Like, well, I always ran into an issue with Doom just because I always had a ton of cards as a Warlock, so it was it was kind of a pain. But it was nice getting a 10-drop right from Medivh, because there's not that many spells that are good with Medivh and Warlock. Yeah, Sack Pack was good, and I think right now Reno Lock's not played quite as often as it was, 4 months ago. So Sack Pack is even riskier now than it was.
That was the issue with his lineup, right? He had three decks that tried to target mid-range Shaman and Reno Lock, and a kind of hard-targeted Reno Lock and soft-targeted mid-range Shaman, and there just wasn't enough Reno Locks in the tournament, so didn't end up finding success. Other players also went with that lineup as well. Frozen had pretty much the same lineup, different techs, but pretty much the same lineup as Toast, targeting the same sort of thing. And he got decently far. I think he got to top 16 in the tournament, but didn't quite go all the way. So it was like a strategy that was really cool. But in the end, as it always does in Conquest and has since the beginning of time, the cool, crazy targeting strategy didn't work. And the best strategy was bring the best decks.
Yep.
Fun. It's so fun.
Sometimes it's interesting when you have like a playtesting group, right? And everybody agrees, let's bring the same anti like specific tech lineup. And then one guy goes top four, the others are in like the bottom 64. You're just like, yeah, that didn't really pan out. Like it's one just, guy.
Well,
gets
okay, let's talk about the value of it too.
I
okay,
mean, so you can ask Pavel. Yeah. He's won a lot recently. Ask him, do you ever target anything? What's your idea with decks? And he'll always say, yeah, bring the best decks.
Yep.
True. It's true.
Seems well, good.
I mean, from a counterpoint, let's talk about just the reason for bringing a little bit more, you know, entertaining decks. We'll just categorize it that way.
Well, you get viewers, right? People yeah. love you. You cause the tournament to be more entertaining, but you're less likely to win. You're hurting your percentage to win. I think it's smart to bring cool, crazy cards. I think the, like, estimated value on your percent chance of winning versus the estimated value on your percent chance of people caring about your games. More people care about your games than the amount you increase your chance to win. For example, I think Green Sheep should have kept
Noggin Fogger
in his zoo. I think that's ridiculous to back out on that promise and not keep Noggin Fogger, even with some of the tweets being bots, because that's a storyline. People want to tune into your match. They know there's Noggin
it's
Fogger.
It's not bad either.
And like, you're losing. Well, it's pretty bad. That
pretty
was
bad. No, let's not try to spin it.
Stop breaking my dreams. RDU got 12 wins with it. Stop breaking my dreams.
It's pretty bad.
Oh. No. I don't want to hear it, Chan, man. Noggin Fogger is bad.
Yeah. Noggin Fogger is bad, but you're going to tune into that game.
Yeah, you're absolutely gonna watch that game.
You have a percent chance, like maybe he loses 5 or 10% to win the game. But if he does win the game, you're gonna remember that. You're gonna be sitting around. It's gonna be noxious, and then he's gonna be sitting around with his kid. He's gonna be telling his kid, you know, son, when I was a young esports man, I was once privileged to watch the great Green Sheep with his Noggin Fogger Zoo, and it'll be a great story.
Exactly. That's absolutely. Christmas time for you.
Absolutely. And just proof that every card in Hearthstone is playable at some point. Even the meme.
But frankly,
ones.
Though, like when we look at the competitive scene of Hearthstone, when there are lulls in like content and people are a little bit disgruntled with the state of the game and they're kind of bored because a lot of it feels repetitive, there is no better time than then to come up with a crazy tech or a crazy deck to bring just for memes. Mm-hmm. That is the
community at the moment, for better or for worse, when they get into these states where there's not been a lot of content, they don't really care who wins a tournament.
Right.
I'm a tournament player. I've played a lot of tournaments. Yeah. And when the meta gets like this, they do not care. The viewers are not interested in who wins. They're interested in anything different, because they've seen it all, man. They've seen people win with your decks before. It's happened. Yep. Everyone's playing the same things when they win. So they're like, yeah, it's just another guy playing, you know, the same crap. Pirate Warrior. Cool.
You see this kind of thing, and you see this kind of thing in sports sometimes. You know, there's always like one or two, you know, players that have some kind of flair, right? And they're always topics on talk shows and things like that. And it might not be on a team that wins championships, but they're always, you know, like the point of discussion, which is sometimes can be very, very beneficial for you, especially in our community. Yeah. Well, but overall, yeah, I think Only Toast could make oversleeping actually work out for him too. And just continue the meeting. Crazy.
A lot of players overslept because the time change.
The time change happened. That was...
Yeah. They, I guess, use alarm clocks still. I don't know who... uses that instead of their phone as an alarm.
Or just calling. I usually just call the front desk too, just in case.
Sure, yeah. Get with the times.
Get with the times.
Like, what are you doing?
And so Onog, another great tournament. They're doing another one here at South by Southwest, so definitely check that out. It's got some of the top NA players again going, basically flying directly from Boston to Austin. Mm-hmm. That's going to be happening this weekend too. But yeah, that kind of wraps up events. Oh, the Bahamas is coming up too, and then not this weekend, but the next weekend, next week. So that's why we were talking about Green Sheep's decks. There, a lot of people have been posting their decks, so you can get a look at them. But yeah, so before I guess moving on, I want to give a quick shout out to all the folks listening on iTunes. For those of you that don't know or don't realize that we're actually available on audio formats too, you can find us on Google Podcasts as well as iTunes. I want to give a shout out to a couple folks that have left us 5-star reviews, which really, really help us out in terms of other folks finding us when they're trying to search for Hearthstone podcasts. The Bestest Eva and Chad Imbol are the two latest ones that have left really great reviews for us. Thank you so much for doing that. And if you listen to the show and you enjoy it and you haven't quite done it yet, it only takes like 1 minute or even less than a minute to do so, and it helps us out a lot. So also, I want to give a shout out to the folks that support this show. Valuetown is 100% supported by the Patreon right now at patreon.com. And always want to take some time to thank the folks that you know, really do love this show enough to keep supporting it. Big thanks to our legend producers, Mike T, Eric E, Richard S, and then a few other patrons, North Cal, Esser, Johnson C, Paul H, Vincent G, Julius K, Old Man Riv, Austin L, and Lenny P. You guys are the best. I mean, we wouldn't be here, honestly, without you guys. And of course, you guys always make us qualify for our Smilestone segment, which, you know, I'm sure half of you guys in chat right now are getting ready
to cringe. Super excited about it.
Super
excited.
Super cringing. But you know what, guys? We got to have at least some happiness in Hearthstone each and every week. So, all right, going to start up the music here. And 20 seconds, guys. 20 seconds of our most beautiful smile. Starting.
I don't know what's going on. You've never been a part of this?
So we have to give our best smile for 20 seconds.
Okay.
Here we go. Starting now.
This is kind of weird.
Not like you're at the dentist office, dude.
Well, I'm trying to keep my, you know, mouth. I think that's the rules, right? I don't know.
There's no rules. You can talk.
Okay. I was just trying to stay the smile the whole time. It's tough to talk like that.
Okay. That's 20 seconds. Whew. You've never been here for this? I'm surprised. Wow. I thought.
No, we actually started after Firebat got busy with life, and we got a bunch of other guests on the show.
Okay.
At the time.
Yeah. So that was one of our Patreon milestones and Smilestone. So we've been doing this every week. Yes.
And we even added the romantic music now. We don't hear it, but it's on the podcast.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Chanmet has it in his ears. He has the romantic vibe. He's got it all. We're missing the experience.
It's the song Smile. That's what it is.
It's definitely a romance song. I don't care how you spin it, dude.
I know. I have Ray on here. One of these days to have him do it. But thanks again, guys, for making it happen, making the milestone happen. And we actually have another milestone, which is Laughstone.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want to see that happen,
or hear that happen.
Hear that happen. Or you just like what we do, go and, you know, take a look at patreon.com/valuetown and think about supporting the show.
A lot of people do on the Patreons. They give out like prints, like cosplayers and stuff like that. Maybe you should try that approach. You know,
prints. You mean like pictures,
like
of
full
us
screen pictures of Chanman posing. You know, like
how about full screen pictures of Smilestone segment?
I mean, it works for. I see a lot of like cosplayers do that. They design costumes and pose them, and they sell those.
I don't think they would.
I would support some Chanman dressed up as Hearthstone cards. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, I think you have to be like cosplaying as someone like, you know,
revealing too. That's what
revealing.
It's
like,
you have to show some cleavage. Chanman.
You got to get some skin out there,
hey,
Chanman. You
you're part of this too, Noxious.
Oh yeah, both of you are. Yeah, you guys both gotta get some skin. It's really what the show needs.
Okay, I see skin. So yeah, so that cosplay sex sells is what you're saying. Okay, I'll have to think about that. I'll have to test the waters. Let's do a poll later on and see how people respond to that.
Exactly. No one will troll that for sure. They'll give you 100% serious answers all the time.
Oh my God. They're like, what's that? What's that? That milestone? Immediately make it. Okay.
Put it at like $5,000 to be safe. Just make it a good milestone. Make it worth it, Chanman.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Never leaving the internet.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's move on to some news just in the community. And we've got some player news, which is actually pretty rare these days. Sidonia was picked up by TSM, big organization that, for the most part in Hearthstone, has been more interested in streamers and big personalities than competitive players. So Sidonia is their first competitive player. I mean, Trump is starting to play competitive again, but I think Trump was more picked up as a personality to begin with, though. So Sidonian, I would say, is like a bona fide competitive player more than he is personality. Mm-hmm. What does that say about Hearthstone? I mean, I think the general thoughts was that Hearthstone, from the standpoint of being, you know, team sponsorships and competitive teams, it was dropping off. But TSM kind of flips the I guess that outlook with this.
Everyone else is dropping their competitive teams or trying to switch their competitive teams into streaming teams or content producing teams. And I don't know what they're doing. That seems really, really strange. Like, Zixro can't get on a team consistently, and he's got to be one of the best competitive players that there has ever been in Hearthstone. So what is going on? They're definitely value content. I'm sure Cydonia is going to be making content or something.
He'll be streaming. He said he'll be streaming now.
It's got to do with streaming. Probably.
He had to have signed some sort of contract that's like, I'm going to stream this amount of hours, and they're probably, you know, gambling on if he's going to become a personality or not. I think that's probably more along the lines. I don't think they're signing him as his true competitor. Like, that's not the direction Hearthstone's going in right now. If anything, it's going further the other direction.
I agree. With the entertainment being at the forefront and competition taking a bit of a backseat.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just what the general consensus has been just the last, you know, year or so.
But
so
that would be cool if he's like going into competitive and they have some insider knowledge and that's why they're investing in competitive players. They're like, well, we know about these secret tournaments that are going to come up and it's the new expansion is going to make everything more competitive, even though Life Coach said that's not true. So maybe they know something, but.
Or maybe there's a huge team league again that's like bigger than Trinity and they need to
get
one guy for their team.
I don't think so.
I guess Cydonia, wait, is Trump still with them kind of?
Yeah,
and
Trump's
then still with them.
Crypt's with them, but I don't think Crypt's going to be playing.
So the Trump Crypt Cydonia team, I'd watch that.
I'd watch it. I think everybody would watch it. That's for sure.
That would be good. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, totally.
Get that going on.
So anyways, congrats to him. Congrats for him getting picked up.
Sure.
Yeah, because he wasn't. I think he minded. Was he on a team? With Cydonia?
No, Cydonia blew up like last year. HCT Americas, and then all blew up. Actually, it was his first tournament. I wouldn't say he blew up at that point. It's just over time he accumulated more and more wins. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'll say about Cydonia is that initially, you know, after winning HCT, that was back with the 8-mana Call of the Wild, and it was a lot of do you have call, do you win. And so people dismissed, you know, his play a lot. And he wasn't exactly as solid as he is now. You know, Cydonia was definitely not on the level that he's at nowadays. And the consistency wasn't quite there at first. But he's really shown an interest and a willingness to improve. And initially he wanted to go on a team as soon as the HCT Americas got, you know, finished. But he was working, I think, part-time, you know, in a real job. So, and he wasn't ready to, like, put it aside.
Or something, I think.
Something about pharmacy. So, pharmacology. So he's done a bunch of, he's probably, like, evaluated whether or not engaging Hearthstone full-time was worth it. And based on the results that he's had over the last months, I'd argue that he's probably made his mind up about it. And who knows? Maybe he even poked TSM.
He did some good work in China. And as a competitor, that's the tournaments you want to win. If you're collecting prize money,
that's true.
They got some money over there in China, and they just give it away. They're just
in 32nd place.
You just get a couple grand. It's great. So
30 seconds plus a couple grand. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Dude,
they have like $1 million prize pools over there. And we don't even hear about them in the States. So you don't get any publicity for yourself here. But yeah, I've won a couple of tournaments in China. It's fantastic, dude. They pay out, too. They're solid.
Crazy. And not but just cats.
Zero publicity for it. But
give
and take. You get a lot of money, so it's worth it.
Yeah, I think with Cydonia, TSM's been following him, I think, even since that win over in America. Maybe a little bit after that. But it said, like, in the interview that they've been following him for a little bit. And it wasn't really until this past year, maybe after the China thing, that it became more serious. And that's kind of when they deal on it. So,
okay. Yeah,
good for him. And we'll see if they pick up any more people in the coming future. The next bit of news that was happening at least late last week was the whole pack price increase that happened because of the currency exchange adjustment. And just to fill you guys in that don't know what we're talking about, the price for packs went up everywhere except for the U.S. Recently, just because I think the price was just always like $1.99, whatever currency it was. I think just across the board for the longest time when they started Hearthstone, and they never really corrected it for, you know, just currency exchange or different values of currency. Unlike their other games, like Overwatch actually has it already done, you know, like right from the get-go and some of the others, but Hearthstone just put it off for the longest time. So they finally ended up deciding to do it right before this release. So there was a bit of a pushback or just a lot of people complaining about it late last week. So what do you guys think of that? I mean, you know, obviously it's a price increase for everybody, but like at least me and you, Firebat, Noxious, it might be an increase for you too. I don't know. Being in Canada,
there's no increase for me. In the States, it doesn't matter, right? So yeah. In the States and Canada, one of the things to keep in mind here is that even though it's a fine decision in terms of like financially, I think it's the worst possible PR move they could have possibly made at this point in time. Like barring we're disenchanting your old wild cards to make sandwiches with, like this is probably the next one. Like this is... I think like I feel like somebody forgot to ask, hey guys, how's the state of your PR right now?
Yeah, they maybe should have waited till after everybody loved N'Garu.
Like, I feel like...
Because everyone loves the expansion. No matter which expansion in Hearthstone, everyone has loved it. Even the crappy ones, they've yes. loved during the first month. Yeah. So right after everyone's in love with it, then drop it. But they wouldn't make as much money if they did that. So, but I don't. Arguably, since the PR is so bad, maybe they would have made more if they had just
at least wait for the spoilers. Spoilers or at least
spoilers.
Excited, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like they completely
whipped. Yin-yang it. Have it balanced out. Right now, right. It's just negative on negative.
Yeah. It's a bit of confusing for me, but I mean, I get why they're doing it. I need to see like in a year, like if the currency stabilizes the other way, if they bring the prices back down, because I'd cut my left arm if they did.
Yeah, they probably won't.
No,
they probably won't. So my point is
probably a permanent change to get more money. Like I know how companies work, and they tend to want more. That's usually the direction they go. They don't like give back very often. It's usually they want
more.
True.
That's the big question too, whether they would adjust. Yeah, if it was the opposite direction.
But
I don't think I'm
in the States, so I don't care that much.
It doesn't affect me, but it does suck for a lot of the global Hearthstone players.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
already the barriers to entry to this game are ridiculous. Like I've played like every card game has a lot of really high barriers to entry. As I was telling Noxious earlier about my episode of getting goated. But Hearthstone's getting kind of ridiculous with how many cards you need. Like every deck's got some legendaries in it. Every deck has like things from different expansions and different sets.
Yep.
And, you know, the standard rotation's just finally kicking in, so that's supposed to fix it. But I could not imagine trying to get someone into Hearthstone that didn't seriously want to spend money and get into it into the game right now.
Yeah.
Unless they wanted to just play Arena. Then I could get them into Arena. But like getting into constructed play is starting to get a lot less relatable. And as that becomes less relatable, there's going to be less viewers. And as there becomes less viewers, you know, everything trickles down from there. So the most important thing is having new players be able to relate to the competitive scene and relate to the constructed gameplay, if that's the most watched gameplay. So it's soon the game might just go all kind of Arena.
Well, that might be one of the reasons why they made Arena standard too.
Exactly.
Just to change up Arena. For the short term.
Also make Arena
more accessible to the ladder too. So
because ladder is becoming further and further disconnected, because at rank 20 I'll see people with full constructed, you know, Reno decks. Like I'll just versus a full Reno lock at rank 20 with all the cards, and it's like if you're a rank 20 player, like a real rank 20 player,
rank
just 20? Started the game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's well crazy. My dad was at rank 20, so I was helping him play because he was like, can you build a deck with the cards on my account? And he doesn't have all the cards. He's just trying to, you know, play Hearthstone to relate to me a little bit. And so I build him a constructed deck and we just get our ass kicked for like an hour by like real decks. And I'm a professional.
Exactly.
And I couldn't build him a deck that wins. And he put, you know, $50 into the game and I couldn't win his account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually like, I've looked at a lot of the, like that's one of the things that I've been looking at all the other games, the card games that people compare Hearthstone to. Like at this point, it's kind of become a meme to me, you know, the whole
every card game's
like this, but not all the card games trickle so little. Because one of the things with Hearthstone is that I feel like dust being a universal value, and with the value, like you need like 8 commons to make 1 common. Commons are not a big deal. You open a bunch of them. you need like four legendaries to make one. You need four the conversion epics to make rate. One.
But then some of the other games, though, they have a better conversion rate, but then they allow you to have three copies of a legendary.
And
that gets ridiculous even faster, even though the conversion rate's better. I mean, all the card games are fairly similar, but Hearthstone is starting, I'd say, to get more expensive. Like, it used to be very accessible in the beginning. And obviously, you know, majority of this problem is caused by more cards, more expansions, and whatnot. But I don't think the standard rotation is as refined as it could be. I definitely think there needs to be
more accessible. Even if it's not refined, at least it's capped, though. Like,
at least it's something, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's capped. It's not going to continually get more and more and more. I think that, like, by cutting off, by retiring cards, they limit the amount that it can get just out of hand. So at least we have, like, that upper limit to it right now. But I agree, it is higher than it's ever been. I think most of the, we always used to have Zoo, right? Zoo was always like super good. Maybe Zoo will be good again, like really, really soon. But we've always had that cheap deck in Zoo that could still compete at the highest, and people could at least relate to that. Now we have these decks that have, you know, two or three
like
legends.
I think there should always be some way to like free to play and within a week get legend.
Get legend, yeah. I think that.
I don't think.
It's very easy to do it right now.
Like, it's way more difficult than it's ever been in the past to free to play to legend in a week. And I think that should be possible. You should be able to just unlock all the time. There's like even big, huge, expensive like games where you can get advantages and whatnot. I am a gamer and I can beat all of those games in a week. Like, just any game out there, I bet you I could beat it in a week. Like, I play games a lot. But Hearthstone started to be one of the more challenging ones to beat in a week and beat in the sense of get to legend.
Yeah, actually get to the top of the ladder. It's actually a very daunting task. So I've had trouble introducing people to the game, and that's where that comes from for me as well. Is like, I've actually realized that people I introduce to the game, they say, yeah, I love it. And then I'm like, you want to play a game? And they say, yes. Then I try to play a budget deck, and it's, you know, the cards they have are not the cards they want to have. You know, like, someone wants a Lorewalker Cho in Hearthstone. That's the point I bring up often, just to have fun, right? Like, it's a meme card. Costs them the same as Sylvanas and Ragnaros. And the point is that there are some cards with cool effects that are gated. So even the fun part of Hearthstone, what's supposed to be, here are these amazingly fun cards, the epics, the legendaries. Those are the most costly. So the fun stuff, not even the best stuff, is actually really costly. So at what point do you draw the player in by telling them, hey, here are all these fun things you can do without, you know, dumping billions on it? Because you won't win with Lorewalker Cho. Like, you're not.
That brings up a good point.
Friends before, and the first thing they crafted was Noggin Fogger. And that's because they loved it. They're like, this is so cool.
But it's cool.
Yeah, and so they have that's their legendary that they have, and they don't have any other legendaries. And
they've got Yogg.
They wanted to have fun, but now that they're having fun, eventually it gets old having fun with one card. And then they're like, all right, now I want to try and actually progress in the game. And they can't. They just spent without investing more money, which I guess is probably one of the points, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do
want to advance in the game. Now you have to spend more money. They rope you in.
Right.
I don't know.
That's a good segue into like one of the other things I want to talk about, which is more of a community topic, which is, are epic drops way too low right now? Given that there are some super powerful epic cards, but at the same time, there's a bunch of very bad epic cards right now too. And given that, given the number, just the raw number of epics, the drop rate doesn't seem to match it, you know, as well as say like legendary drops and the rare drops. What do you guys think of that? Because that was a pretty big topic too on Reddit last week.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't really ever open packs, and I have all the cards, so it's really hard for me to relate. Because even when I do open packs, like after winning Heroic Tavern Brawls and stuff, I just kind of jam in spacebar, zoning through it, not really paying attention. Yeah. So I can't really relate to this issue at all. I don't know, but I feel the same way.
So I feel you.
I have never really had when I generally open packs, I feel like I get a ton of epics. Like, I think my epic drop is way better than my legend drop, just statistically.
Yeah, like, but how many packs do you buy with real money versus free to play? Like, free to play wants to build like any deck that has like four epic. Let's say you want to build Miracle Rogue, technically not the most expensive deck. like for a while, you know, in the patches rotation, you needed like two preps, the Edwin, the patches. What used to be a somewhat budget deck with Arcane Golem finishers is now a pretty pricey deck to get into. So it's like even the decks that used to be.
I mean, every deck is shaped around some legendary from the last set.
Right, you have to have either
Aya or patches, or you're not playing anything. Yeah. You need to have Aya or patches or Kazakus, otherwise you're not playing the game. So, and if you want to play all those archetypes, you need all three of those legendaries because otherwise you're not getting past rank 5. They're pretty important cards.
True fact.
True. That's definitely true.
I mean, I don't know. It's starting to feel sellout. Like, it feels really sellout playing Hearthstone. I feel like there's got to be ways that they could monetize less aggressively.
And just we'll make the cards a little bit easier or more available to people.
Login rewards, right? Like, we're looking at this now, and they're experimenting with login rewards come around on Goro. I don't know exactly how long that's going to stand for. Some of the rewards, I think, are placeholders. You know, the 50 gold a day instead of the usual 100-ish value that they plan to add. Yeah. So if they're going to give people, you know, 100 gold a day for free worth of stuff, whether it's, you know, 100 dust, an old pack that is viable in standard, an Ungoer pack, whatever the case may be, at 100 gold per day, plus the daily quest and some of the grinding, we're looking at maybe two packs a day for the average player, with login rewards included. And I think at that point, at 60 packs a month over 4 months, you're getting like 240 packs in an average gameplay session, I'd say, for the players. And then you're looking at decent collection completion by the end of an expansion if you play for real.
We need it so bad to have, like, because the general population in Hearthstone is really bad. And part of them being really bad at the game is most of them don't have the cards. If they could get more access to the cards, I think it would help the amount of people that care about the competitive scene and want to get into the game competitively, because there's more people with the resources available, so they would do it.
I mean, they started to do it a bit. I mean, they, you know, sure. the
quests one expansion, are really good.
Or the expansion, that one expansion they gave literally the legendary, and they gave us legendaries right from the get-go, right? Even like old gods, they gave us C'Thun. I think it started with old gods, really. C'Thun was given to everybody. Everybody got four of the, you know, the cards that helped them. There were some expansions where they gave very like discounts, basically.
I think it's a good thing to do that. I think it's a very good thing to get more people access to the content. I think there's a lot of content available, and the more players you can get access to the content, the more they're gonna start caring about the game, and you'll make that money back. Yeah. I think. I'm not an expert, and I'm not a marketing scientist or anything like that, but I do play the game, and I talk to people that play the game a lot. And once people hit a certain point with when they're getting into it, if they just got a few extra cards and then they push themselves a little bit further and actually really get into the game, you end up making money from those guys, because then they build full golden decks and all that sort of stuff. So I think it would be a good investment on Blizzard's end to make some of the content more available to the average player, make packs cheaper rather than more expensive or something like that, so that then people get more into the game and then continue to buy more packs later on and then watch the competitive scene, which they make money off people watching the game. They make money off of all this other stuff, merchandise, because people get into the game. Like, everybody that really gets into the game ends up spending a boatload of money.
Well, it's one of the things where, and maybe Noxious, you alluded to it a bit just with Dust Economy. If they could have a system, and obviously that it would require some kind of dust calculations, I don't know, but if you could just discount the older packs, like the older expansions, you know, like when stuff first comes out, just like anything else, when stuff first comes out, it's expensive. It's supposed to be expensive. It's supposed to be, you know, like as expensive as it gets. And then once it becomes older, then, you know, you can get discounts on it. And communities have talked about like expansions and things like that. But the problem is the dust is always constant, you know, for a lot of those things. So people would just, you know, abuse it and buy the hell out of the cheap packs and then just convert all the dust, right? And then buy the new cards. So,
well, you could reduce the dust they grant as well. I mean, it's not an issue.
Yeah, they could do that too.
In terms of crafting, it could also be the other way around, where it crafts for less, but it gives you less.
Okay, sure.
And then the price of the packs can go down. But one of the big things you have to keep in mind is that Blizzard, you know, mentioned the point about physicality. We want your collection to feel real. Hearthstone doesn't have trading. Your collection has no value once you quit the game. And as a result of that, it's definitely a sunk cost 100%. And so the sunk cost fallacy is also keeping some people engaged in Hearthstone right now that I've spoken to. I know that for a fact. And one of the funny things about that is that if you tell them that their collection right now, they have to pay 100 gold per pack, and then, you know, 4 months down the line, or 8 months down the line, that pack is worth 50 gold, it just feels worse for those players. Like the sunk cost fallacy just kicks in 10 times as hard, and they just refuse to engage it. Like, you know, those guys just say, you know what, this isn't worth it. I'm out. So you'll still keep the whales that want the premium stuff, and those are a huge chunk of your income. But the medium sized, you know, buyer that occasionally spends money might be turned off.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a matter, I guess strategically, it's just a matter of do they want to try to get more new, you know, new users, or do they want to just keep trying to bring back the people that have played it at one point? And I feel like they focused a lot on trying to bring back people just historically to this point. And I don't know if it's been good for the game. Just a lot of the decisions have been made based on that kind of strategy. So I don't know. I mean, for me, it's just like, you make a lot of valid points there. It's just like, it's a sunk cost for sure. There's no collectability of this game. Like we've already established that. I mean, some people still collect the gold cards, but in reality, it doesn't, it's like a single player collection type of thing more than it is something that you can that has distinct value, you know, from the standpoint of collectibles. So, yes, I view it the same way too, Noxious. It's, you know, it shouldn't be viewed like that. And because it shouldn't be viewed like that, I think the value of older things should be, questioned at this point. And you know, yeah, there's some players, they're going to be pissed off that, yeah, I spent all this money. It's not, you know, you got to do something, right? You can't just, you know, continue as is and just have, you know, kind of be losing on both ends of it. You have to pick one side or the other. Either you're trying to get more new users like aggressively, or a little bit like more aggressively than trying to retain previous users, or you're doing the opposite. It's just like you have to choose.
All they're doing, every decision they make, is always chasing the people that aren't playing the game. They're either trying to bring people back that quit, or they're trying to get new people into the game. And they really give about zero attention to the people actually currently playing the game.
That's the way business works, though, when it comes to game dev. That's the thing. Like, I want to criticize that portion of it, but at the same time, I know how it works behind the scenes, so it's just kind of...
I don't get it, man. I think if you're able to make your consumer base happy while they're playing the game, they'll keep playing the game, they'll tell other people, they'll get other people involved in the game, more people will progress. I think the biggest and scariest fact in Hearthstone is how many people are at rank 20 and just stuck at rank 20.
Just stop there, yeah.
Yeah, you just stop at rank 20 non-legend. Like, that's majority of the people that play Hearthstone are there, and that's scary to me. I think if you're going to have a community that actually can bond over the game and can create good content and progress and then have a competitive scene, you need a higher percentage of people that are actually getting truly involved in the game.
Definitely good points there. All right, well, we spent a lot of time there, so why don't we move on to global games. Maybe this is the last point that we'll have today. So global games voting ended, I think, a couple days ago. And Firebat, obviously, you were one of the folks on the U.S. Or one of the nominees for the U.S. team. One thing I did want to mention is that something we talked about, I don't know if we talked about on air, Noxious, or maybe off air, but one thing that was nice to see was people actually going and campaigning for votes. Unfortunately, the voting system didn't really quite allow for people to, you know, change their votes, or, you know, like, people didn't know that the voting day was going to be starting on this day anyway, so they couldn't even prepare campaign videos. But we did see Jackie come out with a rap video, you know, and, you know, we saw another rap video that was made from somebody promoting for another player, you know, but it was good to see, you know, like, this is the kind of thing that makes the global games more fun, you know, and more of a community type of thing. So I want to get your thoughts on it. Like, Noxious, why don't you start off?
Well, I mean, there's really not much to say aside from the fact that, you know, the community picked up the beacon. You know, Blizzard kind of pushed out the voting, and the community made something of it, as opposed to just let it fall flat on its face, because it looked like it was about to do nothing. It was about to just be
close.
Right. It was very close to just not having any, you know, discussion, not generating any hype, not generating any type of interest. But, you know, the people involved said, you know what, this is my chance of maybe collecting some of that social media capital. Go. And they went ahead and tried to get
themselves
out there. And I frankly, I'm really happy that some people saw it as an opportunity, as opposed to just, well, no one's interested, I'm just going to do the same and not care either.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised at how low impact it was, because, like, when we heard the announcement for it, of the global games, it was going to be like this cool, super organized tournament, and it was going to be sweet, and everyone cared about it in the beginning. There's so much hype behind it. And then they just went silent with it for a really, really long time. And then they like emailed a bunch of people, and then they just put their name on a voting page with one announcement. Like, there's not a lot of hype behind it, not a lot of advertising behind it, not a lot of anything going on. I got emailed like a contract thing that I had to sign to be put on it, but it was like 3 weeks late. And like, I don't know. So like, for me, it was really disorganized and the entire process was a hassle. And I was thinking about dropping out because it wasn't going anywhere and it was such a hassle to even get put on the page. So I was like, screw this.
Well, you made it on there in the end, right?
Like, yeah. But like, I don't know. It just felt like it. I mean, I've been through the whole Worlds process before, and this was even more disorganized than the Worlds process. So I'm scared. I'm scared.
They could have executed it much better. And I think last week we even talked about, with the Rat, that we talked about just what Dota has done, right, with the Summit, Beyond the Summit guys, and some of the voting and things that they have before some of those events, you know, where the actual votes can swing, you know, just who gets to participate in the events, mm-hmm. and how successful that's been, you know, over in the Dota scene. And this was, this was set up to be something like that in just conceptually, but not in execution.
I love
unfortunately.
The idea.
Yeah.
I conceptually think the idea could have been something amazing. I just think they really kind of half-assed it. Like, if I'm gonna be totally blunt with you, there is not a lot of effort behind the global games this part, and I hope they step it up in the future. Otherwise, if the event and the production quality comes out for the event and it's disorganized, because it is very hard to organize this.
Oh my god!
There's a lot of moving
countries.
Parts. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. So this is it looks amazing on paper. Very hard idea to execute right, and it's not off to a great start. So I'm scared right now. They have to really step it up if they're going to make this actually pop and be something exciting.
Yeah,
because it's reminded me of what TESPA's been right now. And TESPA's had, you know, a couple thousand viewers generally on its stream for the first 8 months of it happening. So I'm afraid that Global Games is going to be some tournament that gets 1,000 viewers just like that, when they have all of the tools and all of the resources to make it amazing.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous too. But the first step is actually just announcing at least who won. You know, like, or who actually the actual teams are, and then bracing yourself for that first to see how people react to the teams. But yeah, to your point, there's so many countries. That's a lot of players, just period.
Those
are four-man teams, right? They're four-man teams for, I don't know how many countries there were, 50 countries or
I would not want to organize that because I don't think I would be able to. I've ran tournaments before, and it is a pain in the ass. I've dealt with players before, which are all teenagers that have zero responsibility and zero control over themselves. So that's a pain in the ass, getting them to show up on time and stuff. Now magnify that times like 100. Holy crap, they are in for a lot of work. They better hire extra people. How much people they have hired to work on Global Games?
Yeah.
Hire twice as many.
Double it.
It's
just
very
it.
Difficult to do this sort of it thing is. And keep everything organized.
It
I don't
is.
Know if you've ever like been to high school, but you're dealing with mainly high school kids and like junior college kids. And that's what these teams are composed of. They're difficult to manage, and it's difficult to get everything set up. And yeah, and if it doesn't get executed well, then everyone complains, and then that causes negative PR, which then makes it more difficult, and then your employees are like get disappointed and sad that are working on that particular project. Like, I've done this before. It's hard. Hire twice as many people that they got now is my advice to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know when. I mean, at least they haven't given a date yet, so I think they can. The date might be something that they could push out a little bit if they need more time to plan it. But it is a huge endeavor, and hopefully it does improve. Hopefully, you know, we can get into something that is more of a, you know, national pride type of thing than it has been so far. You know, I think the maybe the most interesting thing that they did for it was just take quotes, you know, and put quotes by
well, they
pictures.
Misprinted everybody's quotes. They took quotes from people and then summarized
and
them
then
in their own words.
Them,
Yeah, so whoever was in charge of putting the quotes up changed everybody's quotes to whatever the hell they felt like it. So that wasn't good. That was a huge backlash already.
Okay, that's true too. Yeah,
so none of those quotes were what people said. People said other stuff, and then they just kind of were like, "Yeah, he really means this. I'm too lazy to write the whole thing," and then wrote out.
I'll be
that
your
instead.
Editor, basically.
That's not okay.
All right, well, that's Global Games. Hopefully it'll be
potential.
Good. It's got potential. I'm still hopeful it ends up being a successful
I'm hopeful,
event.
But I'm on the fence. Like, I've seen esports stuff before. I've seen Blizzard do tournaments before. So I can't go, I can't be, you know, fake positivity. I got to be real with you and be, it's going to be an adventure. Next year, everything will be flawless with it. But the first year it's happening, the first year that it's happening is going to be sketchy. But next year it'll be good. That's what Blizzard does.
In the theme of what we've all been saying about 2017, one more growing pains year here. Okay, well, why don't we go into questions? We've got Ahmed, as usual, our very reliable question asker that we have. And for those of you that want to email us any questions so that we can read it on the show, go ahead and email those to valuetown@chainmanv.tv. We have a ton of Megatorp cards. You can keep sending those, but we definitely have ample Megatorp cards, which we try to get to every time we have the segment. But, questions, we pretty much go through all the questions every. All right, Ahmed, he asks, in an effort to encourage wild mode, how feasible is it for Blizzard to make wild-only cards available to all players but can't be disenchanted? They don't sell them anyways, and they are just there for dust as some free-to-play players tend to dust their wild cards, making the format worse. Kind of like, yeah.
Oh, I have to do my evil laugh because I'm pretty sure that this year we'll have some support for wild and there will be wild packs in the store and they will sell. So my assumption is Blizzard is going to monetize this huge segment of dead content and make something of it.
Yeah, so, they have to, right?
I mean, I don't want to like burst the bubble and be like,
how do you think it's going to be? Just regular packs?
Here's a card pack called a wild pack. It's a mix of GVG, Nax, and whatever's in the past. Next time that another set rotates out, it's going to contain those cards too, and it's just going to be that.
And then they're going to have the wild HCT as well, probably eventually in the future.
Sure. Like, do you guys?
Because in other card games, they have the standard format, and then they have the other different formats.
We're not being.
They'll have tournaments for those formats, so they can monetize those cards still.
It's not pessimistic though. It's just the way that card games operate. Like when you have this huge segment of content. What are you gonna do with it? But you have to do something with it.
I get it.
Like getting a zombie chow right now. Like crafting a zombie chow costs you 40 dust right now. Now you want to craft a sludge belter that's 100. You want to craft a shade of Nax that's 400. Like what the hell? Like when I got the expansion, it cost me pebbles, and now it costs people a ton because they have to disenchant the new stuff to get the old stuff. So the value transfer is terrible for them because if they commit to one game mode, then they don't get to play in the other. For most players, at least, that are trying to get into WoW right now, they're sacrificing standard. So you really just can't
try to get into WoW. Like, I get it if you just have the cards, but trying to craft backwards into WoW, really?
I've heard of some people Dr. Boom, making Mysterious Challenger, going and play Secret Pally. Like, we've played that deck so much that we just can't stomach it anymore. Sure. But they've only heard about it, and they're like, I feel like that would be a cool deck to play. Go.
You want to experience it.
Yeah.
They're really pushing wild. And I think it's pretty clear that they really do want some type of competitiveness in wild eventually.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That, I'm hyped. Man, that worries me, man. Because
really?
Yeah, because
I want
the entire purpose of competitiveness in Hearthstone is to monetize the cards, to make people want to buy more.
I get that, but it's more of a support thing. You know, it's just like, you know, I feel like the esports staff has their hands full right now, even with standard. You know, and you know, they're trying to get the best format there. And if you throw on wild on top of that,
and balancing
of wild, oh my god.
Well, it doesn't need to be balanced. We've seen that from the standard scene. But
that's true, though.
They're going to pile it on there and just use it as... Like, there's plenty of card games that are less skill-based than Hearthstone that have competitive scenes for the purpose of selling products. That then have competitive scenes in multiple outdated formats for the purpose of selling product. Like, that's just a smart way to monetize all of the content you produce. Why produce a content if you're only going to sell it for a year? Like, you produce content to sell it forever.
I get it. No, I totally get wild. It's just my worry is just the support's just not there.
Oh, it's not going to be there for a while. Yeah. So it's going to take a long time for the support to happen. And then even when it does happen, a lot of times they rely on the community for a lot of the support instead of creating their own support. So they just, their philosophy is if we give them the avenue to create their own support, people will create support. And that happens with like wikis and community sites for games all the time.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's just like the community. The community like, you know, has events and things like that. Yeah, I totally get that. It's just, I don't know. We've seen the general communities, particularly the vocal Reddit community, and how they react just to standard. Imagine Wild, it's not even balanced. I mean, it's like, if that actually became like a, you know, we have hundreds of thousands, we have $1 million Wild tournament, and there's just like these crazy, dude, stupid.
They have $1 million tournaments for random crappy apps all true. The time that yep. are not competitive whatsoever.
Especially in China.
How can you complain? It's a free opportunity to get $1 million. Like, you're not hurting anybody. Why do they care that it's not bad? A lot of people, like the vocal people, are like, we hate that it's not balanced. A lot of people just like watching the show, man.
Yeah.
Ragnar Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks for the guy losing, but plenty of people don't care.
I've accepted it. Like, I'll just put it that way. I feel like Chan Man is still struggling with.
Most people have accepted the fact that people just love watching. People watch for the animations, the characters, the storylines. They don't know the game. But that's like the average viewer.
Well, they don't know the game because it's hard to. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that just aren't explicit in the game right now. That's what's difficult.
So, to your point, I think the question Wild is. It's probably going to get some support.
Hold on to your wild cards. It's going to get support in the future. There's going to be a thing. You're going to be a cool kid with wild cards, and you're going to be the first one to participate in those wild tournaments, and then go pro and wild. And then, bail me out, man. Help me out. Teach me the wild metagame when you're there. I'll be trading along because I'll be doing standard for a while. But, you do you.
You do you. Definitely. Is it going to be one of these, like... Brood War into StarCraft players where like the bad standard players end up going into wild and becoming like the best wild players in the world.
Yeah,
and then once the Brood War players come over.
We've had a few of those posts actually that are fun. Like if you look at competitive HS, at some point it starts supporting wild, you know, submission of deck lists. And then, you know, the first few ones that came up, you're like, yeah, I'm not sure if that's, you know, that's definitely like you got the rank one legend, you got the top 10 legend, but I'm not sure that list is as robust as it could be. And it was kind of questionable the first few ones that came up. And then over time, the meta of Wild actually seems to have solidified a bit. And it's less influenced by some of the standard cards that come out. And it's really good. I really like the way that Wild feels.
And the best Wild decks are Pirate Warrior, Aggro Shaman, and anything with Kazakus.
Anything with Kazakus.
Sounds pretty familiar. Sounds very familiar, guys.
But it does. Occasionally, you do see cards that come up, like decks that come up that are just kind of odd.
Like Milrogue.
Milrogue is one of those decks that did very well for a while because people were like, Kazakus everywhere. Rogue is like, all right, let's play this game, baby. And it started farming the Reno decks while it was, you know, at its peak. And
Pirate Warrior is really good and wild if you want to just play Pirate Warrior with Ship's Cannon. Like, it is
Ship's
absurd.
Cannon is broken, dude.
But you do
Ship's
get, like, on Anoyotron and, like, the few decks, the occasional run-in, like, into that random deck that runs defensive, you know, taunts is really, really frustrating.
If you want to reach rank one legend in Wild, though, time efficiency wise, 100% of the time it's going to be Pirate Warrior.
Yeah,
like you cannot beat it for the amount of games per hour you can do.
No,
even if you find a deck with better win rate, doesn't matter.
Yeah. You can play twice as many games.
Yeah, literally like two or three times as many games because with Ship's Cannon, it decides even faster. Did I
kill that minion? Yes. Okay, phase win. That's it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Ship's Cannon? I've never actually tried Pirate Weapon with Ship's Cannon nowadays.
Oh my god. It's absurd.
So
it's
many one drops.
So now look at your Pirate Warrior deck list. So you have six one drops and patches. You have two drops and two war axes.
Yep.
And then you have a bunch of three drops that are really good. The only hole in the entire deck list is two drops.
Yep.
And there's two Ship's Cannons, and that fits perfectly to have six two drops, including the War X, which perfectly fits the statistically optimal curve for an aggro deck. So you're just fucking golden. It's just so spot on. It's absurd, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, dude. That doesn't sound that fun.
You can beat it. But I mean,
you can build something to beat it. You can build something specifically to beat it.
But unless everyone's doing it, it's going to be number one on the ladder if a guy really tries.
Yeah.
Hey, Druid, man. Double Druid Claw.
They're going to lose the Ship's Cannon.
You can't beat the Ship's Cannon. Druid the Claw, it comes out and you're dead. Boop.
Yeah. That's true.
Dying you can wrath it and get punched in the face for 12 afterwards. But
yeah.
Sound fun. All right. Well, I think that's going to be it. We don't have any more questions. So, yeah, thanks everybody for watching. And thanks for Ahmed for writing in. And all the folks that did send in your Mechatorps cards, don't worry. We'll probably do Mechatorps next week. So we'll get a lot of those out there and shown and discuss them. But Firebat, great having you on as always. It's always a very good person to have these great in-depth discussions with, particularly with just overall what's going on in the game and community. So
I'm good at getting angry about stuff. Talking about Hearthstone makes me angry, and I just keep talking, and I don't know.
He's an angry bat.
That's why I talk about it the least I can. I do it once a week on Value Town, and then I just don't discuss it. Guys, like, I'll play occasionally,
it's fun though. Getting fired up about something's fun. I have a good time.
Yeah, Hearthstone's got this sweet thing.
Angry.
Yeah. You're happy because you're like, I'm not the only one frustrated by this, am I? And this is good. You just vent with a bunch of friends around the table.
Everybody listening is like, oh my god, these guys hate Hearthstone. It's not every week, guys, that we do this. But
it's not even that we, honestly, people...
We talk about important things, you know? Like, if we get fired up,
it's not a hatred of Hearthstone.
It's just passion, man.
Passion there. That's really what it is, frankly. Passion. I've never...
All right, any shout-outs you want to do?
Too much. Firestone.
Firestone.
Heard that?
Firestone.
Think about tires, dude. No.
I don't know. I don't really got any shout-outs, so shout-out to you guys for having me on the show. It's a good time. Shout-out to Twitch chat for making fun of me, probably. I don't know. I haven't seen them yet. I'm just guessing, but yeah, they're here. Great guys. We good.
All right, Noxious.
Seems good. Shout-out to Complexity, as usual. Frankly, it's just same good team, pretty much. Shout-out to you for putting the show together again. I really can't wait to get Mechatorps Workshops next week. I feel like that segment is one of the most submitted. Like, if people submit so many cards, surely there's some degree of the population that loves to read or at least look at some of the cards that people come up with as well. I really like that. Custom fan, like fan creation for Hearthstone is one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
I don't know why Blizzard doesn't capitalize on that more, because there's a lot of people that make custom cards, a lot of people that make really good ones.
They can make an in-between expansions. They make like a custom set with votes and cherry-picked cards.
They could have had a card design contest, and it took like $1 to submit your card design, and they would make a fortune. They would just make a killing. It would be insane. And then
100 gold to submit, so it doesn't look like
gold.
It's $1.
Sure. For the expansion, too.
Exactly.
Right, for the expansion. They would make they would slaughter.
I mean, there are cards.
it's the Rogue Tavern Brawl scheme.
Jesus.
Inside.
Isn't that illegal? Like, no. As long as I guess they give away all the prize money. I guess as long as they give away all the prize money. No, there's just to give a shout out. We rarely give a shout out actually to a custom Hearthstone subreddit, but there's people that do this literally every day. What we do with Mechatorps from week to week. So, go ahead and check that out.
They're good too.
Yeah, they are good. Every once in a while we'll get a post, just kind of, for a while we were getting them maybe once a week, like just the top cards from the custom Hearthstone subreddit, and we get a chance to see them. But yeah, if you're into it, you can just take a look at it every single day, and there's some good ideas, and some of those even make it to the actual cards from time to time. Like, I don't know how many times the Amara card, I think that's been done like many, many times.
75 times. Yeah,
exactly. So we did it. Yeah. We did it, Reddit. Finally got the actual total health pool changed. That's really great. But yeah, check it out, guys. Go and subscribe over there, too, if you guys getting a chance to see new cards. For me, I'll just give a shout out to you guys, Firebat and Noxious, of course, for doing the show every week. Everybody for hanging out and watching, and all the folks that are listening to. You guys are the best. And follow the show's Twitter at ValueTownGG. And you can follow us all on Twitter. Our Twitters are here too. And the VODs will be up on YouTube a little bit later. As always, you can watch all the past episodes on youtube.com. Gonna be it. Oh, for all the folks that have been asking about Streamer Showdown, it's coming again, like just in a few weeks. All right, so you don't have to ask anymore. It's definitely coming again, and I'm glad you guys are really excited about it. I just have to go through the cycle of planning it again. So it's just like a never-ending cycle.
I still can't believe I lost.
Oh man,
so
dude,
so close.
Dude, Toast, like,
it was either Jay Druid or Jay Rogue. I mean, no Rogue, no Druid. I had it.
That was crazy. That was definitely crazy. And dude, Toast is like full, just barely like kept it like the last week from you 50-50 and then tying Brode. So we'll have to figure out.
They
actually tied. We didn't have a tiebreaker because we weren't. You know, we always have dank memes, right? It's like impossible to tie with dank memes. So that time we didn't have dank memes and we tied. So that was a new thing. But anyways, it's going to be coming in probably either or probably early April, I would say right now, just given what's going on there. But expect it then. But until then, guys, for Firebat, Noxious, and myself, Chanman V, we'll see you next week.
Dreaming. Peace.
Later. And I am once again.